As we trek through 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, as we continue our trek through 1 Timothy chapter 5, and as we look at this passage, just before we pray, I mentioned downstairs, we pray for our family, our daughter Janelle. We are looking at a couple of different schools for her. We're looking for God's direction with her life. She's struggling with some issues that really go to the heart, and we'll be sharing with her today, and as a family, praying with her and through her as we seek God's will. So we appreciate your prayers for us. She really loves the Lord, knows the Lord, but she's struggling with some issues in her life. Kind of things that all teens struggle with, but we ask God to give us wisdom as we pray for that. Also, as we look at this, we want you to be praying for yourself, because as we look at these passages this morning, it's going to be talking about how to treat people in the church. How to treat people in the church. And as God touches your heart, as we look at His Word, may you pray for yourselves as we look at how to treat all people in the church. Let's pray. Father God, we ask your blessing on our work, our time together, on your Word. We pray that you would guide us as we look to learn how to treat people in the church. We pray also for our family as we pray over and seek your will and direction in relationship to our daughter. We'll thank you for the blessings she has been in our lives and the blessings that she has been to others. And we pray for your perfect will there, Father. We ask the Lord that you will have your way and your will in our lives as we learn from your Word how to treat people in your church. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We finished 1 Timothy 4 last week. We dealt with the gifts that God gives. He said to Timothy, neglect not the gift that was in you. And we looked at 7 gifts out of Romans. And we looked at the fact that we ought to meditate on these things and we ought to live these things out so that others may see them and grow. And then Paul turns and he begins to speak to Timothy about how people should be treated in the church. And since you are people and I am people, I think it might have something to do with us. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. I'll read that into your hearing. Rebuke not an elder, but exhort him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. The elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. How to treat people in the church. First thing we see here is in verse 1, how to treat men in the church. How do we treat men in the church? Well, Paul tells Timothy, rebuke not an elder. Rebuke not an elder. Here Paul is saying to Timothy that, Timothy, be careful about rebuking an elder. And what this elder is referring to is not necessarily a preaching or a leading elder, but don't rebuke older men. Paul is directing Timothy that older men are generally not to be rebuked. Remember, Timothy is a young pastor. And as a young pastor, he's shepherding a whole flock that do contain older men. And because of the respect that should be given to men of older years, Timothy is being encouraged not to rebuke or to discipline an older person. Now, understand, you need to understand something here, that any godly person we should show deference to. Not just because they're older should we just show deference or respect to them, but we need to realize that God's word does say something about the fact that one that has gray head, one that I believe it's in Leviticus that says that the gray head is honored, and in the presence of an old man that you would fear your God, I am the Lord. In Proverbs 16:31, it says the silver-headed person is a crown of glory, and if it be found in the way of righteousness. God is saying that those who have age and are living in a righteous way, that is a crown of glory. And we ought to respect that. And so those who are older in the church, Timothy needs to be careful about rebuking them. Now, this term rebuke here is the only time it's used in Scripture. The term rebuke here is not the original Greek word that is used as far as rebuke is to give a stern warning to. The Greek word here literally means, Paul is telling Timothy, do not strike at. Do not strike out harshly at. In other words, Paul is telling Timothy, you need to not lash out at those older men in the church, but you are to treat them with respect as you would treat the younger men with respect as brothers. And so Timothy has to be careful as a young minister on how he treats these older men. The command is not that Timothy is never to rebuke an older man, but that he was not to strike out at people with an overly harsh rebuke. Because if we go down in the verse 20, or the verse 10, later on in this passage, Paul is telling Timothy that there needs to be sometimes where you do rebuke with reverence and deference into those who are in the church. So it's a simple clarification, it's a simple declaration that Timothy, don't lash out harshly at those who are older. There's a position of respect that needs to be given to those older men that are there in the church. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. That was the verse that I was looking for. And here we see, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. So we see Timothy is told here that there are times when there may come a need to rebuke an older person or a younger person or others in the church. But times when he should rebuke them publicly is when there is clearly sin going on in the church. And so he says, to them that sin, rebuke before all. When sin is known and is public, then he says, rebuke. may be necessary. So Timothy was not told never to rebuke, but he is told not to rebuke, lash out harshly at an elder. So if he was not to rebuke and lash out harshly at an older person, then what was he to do? We see here that he says, but exhort him as a father. Exhort him as a father. Exhortation is different than rebuke. An exhortation is an encouragement. You do not need always to lash out at somebody, but he says, exhort or encourage that older elder in a manner that might be like a coach, or might be like what a coach does with an athlete as they encourage them along their path, as they encourage them and to achieve in an encouraging way. So the teaching is that exhort them, encourage them, because there is a special place for older men that they need to be held in reverence before others. So rebuke not an elder, but exhort or encourage them as a father. And then he says, and younger men as brethren. These were, the younger men were to be treated as brothers, just as I would treat my brother. You ought to treat those younger men as brothers or partners in the faith as you're seeking to be used of God. So helping them to grow, helping them to be encouraged, treating those younger men as your brothers in the church. And so Paul helps to lay down a foundation of how do you treat the older men in the church. If they are in the church, you rebuke them not harshly. But if there's sin, then you have to rebuke them openly, giving all deference as possible. But then encourage them as a father, and the younger men encourage them as your brothers. So then we go to move to verse 2, and we learn how to treat women in the church. Paul tells Timothy, the elder women treat as mothers. The older women treat as mothers. Younger women treat as sisters with all purity. When we look at this passage, we see older women, these were to be treated as mothers with the respect and honor due to their age. Remember, Timothy's young pastor. Timothy must accept and appreciate some amount of mothering that is going to come by the women in the church. And it's proper, and he needs to give honor to those elder women just as Paul encouraged him to do so. And my growing up years, I've had many godly elder women to come alongside and encourage me as I have grown up in the church. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and so many women took that opportunity to help pour into my life, and I thank God for them. Now, what about the younger women? Timothy's a young man. Timothy, I believe, in this, as he's pastoring this church, is a single young man. So dealing with younger women is also important. These younger women were to be treated as sisters. Timothy, as any godly man, needed to be sure that he kept boundaries and made sure that his conduct was without spot, without wrinkle, and with all purity, it says. The man of God that comes into the church has to be careful about how he relates to what he says and how he conducts his ministry among women. And so a godly man needs to be careful in this way. Many men can fall into improper behaviors and attitudes if they don't take this seriously. And this may be one of the areas you may need to question and ask your pastoral candidate. How do you treat young women? What do you do in a counseling situation? Do you keep yourself open to driving them this place or that place? Is your wife involved in counseling ministry? These are all questions that are very important so that you know that that man of God has boundaries he placed around him. A couple of things that need to be, I make myself aware of is I don't counsel women alone. You don't want to have a woman in a room with yourself alone. If you have to be in a room, you can leave the door open, you can have a secretary available, have your wife there, but those are safeguards that you need to place around you. Another thing is you don't make a habit of having to drive a woman alone. Provide opportunity for your wife to take them or have your wife there. You just don't want to put yourself in any compromising position. And you also want to make sure that the godly man is not a man that's flirtatious or provocative. You know, in this day and age, you know, people can use words that have double meanings. You need to be careful, even in joking or in extraneous speech, not to be using wittier words that might be flirtatious or might have a double or shady meaning or provocative way. We need to be careful of that. And that's what Timothy is being encouraged to do. Treat those younger women as sisters with all purity, making sure you have the right biblical limits. So we've seen that Paul tells them how to treat older men, how to treat older women, how to treat younger men, how to treat younger women. We move to verse 3, and we see here how to treat widows who are those in need. Widows who are those in need. So it says, honor widows that are widows indeed. This idea of widows honoring them is to provide support or to pay for, and widows being those who are without a husband, and indeed or in need are those that are, they definitely have a true need. And so we want to break this down and see what is the principles that God is teaching us about these honoring of these widows. And remember, in the day that Paul is writing this, there is no Social Security, there's no welfare, there is no WIC, there is no assistance. Women were not free, in a sense, as they are today, to support themselves. So they were in a culture that is very different than we are today. But in the New Testament, there's some principles that still hold true. And that is that there were widows who were real widows. Widows who were real widows, or widows indeed. In other words, they were widows that did not have a husband for whatever reason, whether the husband died or the husband was killed in war or something, and they had no means of support. That means that the husband wasn't there, they had no grown children able to help them, they were without any adequate support for themselves, they were thus real widows. One of the meaning of the words to honor here is to support or to sustain. It's just basic. To honor is to take care of, to sustain. And the principle revealed here is extremely relevant not only to widows, but I believe that it's extremely relevant to many who are in need in the church. Today we can look at the church, and Pastor probably can attest to this. I can't attest to this because I'm not a pastor, but I guarantee you, Pastor can contest to this many a time. He's sitting at home or sitting in the study, and the phone rings. And he says, "Help, Pastor, how can I help you?" And he hears on the other line, "Oh, Pastor, I'm having a difficult time. Oh, it's just so bad. Oh, Pastor, can you help me? Pastor, I just don't have enough money, and I've got to get this bill paid, and I've got to do this. Oh, and I'm down at such and such hotel, and I lost my job," and on and on and on. And the pastor goes down there and finds a person in the hotel, and sure enough, it looks like he lost his job. The hotel's room's a mess. He's got the TV on, watching some ungodly show. He's also got the telephone book open because he's flipping through all of the yellow pages to call all the churches to give him that sob story. And you wonder what to do in this situation. Is this person really in need? Is this person really destitute? Or is he just providing a sham or providing just a way to meet his needs to get to the next town or to get the next drink or to provide for his next high? You get phone calls like that. And every pastor has to decide in his mind, what is he going to do? Is this really a legitimate need? Does this happen, Pastor? Who are really widows? Those who are real widows are those who are to receive the honor, the sustenance, the sustaining, the help. And this is basically financial support from the family of God. And so this help needs to be given in a dignified and a way that is honorable. You know, I'm under the belief that when we look at scriptures, God makes these things clear about helping those in need. We don't have the time to go through the message about work and about how God tells us that there's three responsibilities for us who work. One is to take care of our family needs and our needs. One is to take care of others' needs, and the other is to take care of those who are unfortunate. I believe those are the three basic reasons why we work and why God provides us. And a little bit of teaching in Leviticus 19, God teaches the people of Israel what they are to do in order to help those who have needs that are over and above what they can support on themselves. And he tells them in Leviticus 19 that when you go into your vineyards, into your orchards, you ought to leave the edges of the orchards with food on the trees. When you have grain, leave the edges of the grain fields there unharvested. Why? Number one, because there are strangers, there are widows, there are orphans who need food. And God says, "I want you to leave it there." Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, "Cut it down, sift it for them, put it in bags, have them come up to the truck and give it to them." He says, "Just leave it open." Because there's a sense of dignity and a sense of responsibility that somebody can go into the field, cut the wheat down, grab the fruit from the tree, beat the grain themselves, make it into flour, and take on some of the responsibility that they are willing to do, which gives them dignity as they meet their needs. Now, we don't live in an agrarian society. We live capitalistic society. I don't have an orchard. I don't have a field of grain. But I do get a paycheck every 2 weeks. So what do I do with this paycheck in reference to meeting my family's needs, meeting others' needs, and meeting the needs of the unfortunate? I have a church, and I give to that church, and they help to distribute to that. But what if the church doesn't know? What if someone comes to my mind and God says, I want you to help them? Then by all means, help them. It isn't that you have to go to the church and use every church program to help. If they don't have a program, then by all means, meet that need if God puts them on your mind. We need to think about ways. I have read about several businesses who believe that God has given them that business to help those in need. It's one business that takes people who are homeless or people who are in need, and he has them sweep the floors and clean up, and he provides them some sustenance through that. We've had other businesses who take things that are of no use. Maybe they've got a carpentry shop, and they donate or they give the sawdust to the people so that they can sell the sawdust or make it into something else. If we really look at the principles that God is teaching us, that we are responsible to help with what God has given us beyond the taking care of our families, we will realize that we can help to bring dignity and support to those who are widows indeed. Those who are really in need. Now we're going to learn some other principles here as we look at verse 4, because how do we tell those who are really widows? How can we tell those who are really in need? There are some very clear ways that God gives to us. And he tells us in verse 4, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them, in other words, the children and the grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to requite or repay their parents. In other words, if a widow has children, those who should be legitimately helped is that they should be those who don't have any children. But if they do have children and grandchildren, it is responsibility of your family to assist you and help you first, not to run to the church. This passage is describing a real widow is one who is left alone. They have no family, they have no children, they have no grandchildren, they do not have any of those to care for them. And so this shows us that widows indeed are those who don't have family or relatives to help them, or relatives who are willing to help them, because we have those situations also. We have situations where relatives exist, children exist, but they're not interested, they're not willing to help them. So we know that God tells us that we need to learn to show piety. We need to learn to requite or repay our parents. God gave us parents to raise us up, to take care of our needs, to change our dirty diapers, to clean up our mess, help us to go to school, to feed us and all that. And there's a principle that when our parents get older, then we have to requite them. We are responsible to repay them for what they did in those 18, 21 years, maybe 25 years, maybe 30, I don't know, however long, till God brings you on your own. We are to requite, repay our parents for what they did. And that's good, and that's acceptable before God. God wants us to do that. That's the first thing. And so the first thing, as we look in the church, Paul is telling Timothy, let the families take care of those, their family members first. Now, it says here in verse 5, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, in other words, was without help from anywhere, trusts in God and continues in supplication prayers all night. The widow who continues in supplications and prayers all night, those are the type of widows that you want to assist. What he's saying is that the ones that are desolate, they don't have any needs, and they already are involved and continuing in the work of the church. They are a part of the church. They're helping the church already. They're serving in the church in some kind of way. And in this case, we should be willing to help them and continue to help them, because they are already serving. And if they are willing to serve, maybe they haven't been serving, then give them opportunity to serve, especially in the area of praying for the church, or maybe some other task that can be done in the church. We see here that she that is a widow indeed must be involved in ministry. But, verse 6, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. What does that mean? Those who have legitimately, those who should be legitimately helped by the church must have godly lives. They must be living in a way that's pleasing and honoring to God. It is appropriate to say in this verse, those who are not living a godly life should not receive any support, any sustainment, any financial assistance from the church. It is saying here that those who are seeking to live in pleasure, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are living criminally, they're living sinfully in the sense of doing evil things, but it does indicate that they are indulging in things that bring pleasure. Maybe they're seeking to take care of their body. They're wearing the new nicest clothes, and they've got the brand name things. And we understand, we're not talking, we're not saying that this is sin. There's nothing wrong with wearing nice brand clothes. But what we're saying is there is a priority here. If you're taking care of living in pleasure, you've got the car, you've got the clothes, you've got you're taking time to spend on yourself living in pleasure, but you're not taking care of your own life, but you're leaving those things to the church. There's a problem here. The life lived for mere pleasure and ease is really no life at all. That's what they're saying. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead. She's not really living for those things that really count. She is living for herself, and she's really living in death, whether instead of living a godly life or a blameless life. And so many who come to the church for assistance and need, questions need to be asked. Obviously, if they're spending money on drugs, if they're spending their money on alcohol, if they're spending their money on other sinful pleasures, well, the question obviously is legitimately no. So, as a church, you have to look at what is this person doing with their life. Many can be helped, but we'll look at, not next week, but the week after, we'll look at what God says, what provisions should come from the church, and how this should be demonstrated as we look next time we come together. So, how should people be treated in the church? We said that men ought to be treated with honor. We said that they should be treated as, older men should be treated as as fathers, and younger men as brothers. We looked at women. The older women should be treated as mothers, and the younger women as sisters. And then how should we treat widows that are in need? need. The general principles apply here, that we're to help those who are in need, that are truly in need, and that we ought to be able to distinguish that by their lifestyle, by what they're doing, and also by whether they have anyone in their families to help them. Father God, help us as we look to practice what your word says as undefiled religion. Help those who are widows and those who are orphans. And Father, that's part of the responsibility of the church, that we're to come alongside of those who are widows indeed. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to guide us, direct us according to your truths, that we would be willing to use the support that we have as a church. We help those who are widows indeed, and also to help meet the needs of those who are truly desolate, but also to be able to have dignity and to be able to allow those to be honored and helped with dignity. And we'll thank you for the opportunity for us to establish that not only in our church, but even in our family lives and in our individual lives. Well, thank you for what you're teaching us. Continue to drive us to your word as we seek your directions in your face. In Jesus' name, we pray.